Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of October, recording at 8:40 p.m. That's still British Summer Time, the last week of British Summer Time. And I'm recording, of course, 20 minutes before the close here today. Now let's have a quick look at the highlights. In stock markets, despite Wall Street's sell-off on Friday, the Asian markets held up really quite well. We had gains in China, also a slight gain in Japan. Most of the ASEAN sector was higher, as was India. Now, elsewhere in Europe, we had a mixed day. We had modest losses, all under 1% for the main European indices. A few gains. I see Sweden, Holland, and the Italian MIB index, but again, small percentage moves. In the Americas, we've seen Wall Street down pretty well the whole day. Well, that's the S&P and the Dow. The NASDAQ has been moving in and out of profit. It's been outperforming here today, largely due to Apple, which has retraced. When I last looked, it had retraced most of Friday's decline. But another tech heavyweight, Microsoft, has broken down. I reviewed that on Friday, and it's broken down out of the little range that where it was eroding support previously. Now, also, Mexico down 0.83%. That's about the biggest decline. Brazil and Canada down slightly, less than 0.5% each. Long-dated government bond prices are easier here today, with the Treasury long bond currently down 20 ticks. That's 20, 30 seconds. Despite Wall Street being a little bit softer, the U.S. dollar index was lower for most of the day. It's now just about unchanged. We do see some firmness, though. The euro is back up to 130.51, and well, sterling's lost most of its gains, but it's just above the 160 level. And the Aussie is eased back to 103.10. That's pretty much it in terms of the highlights there. Precious metals have been moving in narrow ranges here today, but when Wall Street, again, the correlation continues, when Wall Street is at its weaker points, so are the precious metals, and they pick up a little bit. Currently, we've got palladium flat, we've got platinum down nearly $5. We've got gold actually up nearly $6 at the moment. And we have, what else is there? Silver. Silver up 27 cents at the moment. And industrial metals. I think we had some, no, I was going to say we had some gains in here, but no, they're weaker across the boards Europe and also the U.S. Copper's down 2.25 cents as I speak. Looking at these, we're also seeing some weakness in oil. The Brent crude, which had rallied earlier in the day, nearly got up to 111, but it's currently at 109.48, and the WTI is currently at 88.73. Grains and beans, we've got a modest gain in soybeans and also in wheat. Corn virtually unchanged. Coffee, a little bit firmer. Sugar, well, white sugar was a little bit firmer. That's the UK contract. So, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we're still in this overall global consolidation of those earlier strong gains, with clear relative strength showing right now in very, very recently in Asia. We're also seeing relative strength in Europe relative to Wall Street. So Wall Street has gone from having been the relative strength leader for the most part throughout this year to date. It has weakened relative to the other indices. And there have been concern over corporate profits in Wall Street. And this is still, of course, the profit reporting, the third quarter profit reporting season. And so Wall Street's been caught in a little bit of a pincer move here between the valuation expansion that I have mentioned on numerous occasions as a consequence of the very good rally that took place from the early June lows. And the other side of the pincer is the declining profits. That's a more serious side. And profits are notably weaker than they have been since 2009 here overall. So that's hit tech, which had been a relative strength leader overall. And we've got it underperforming here right now, as I say, along with all of Wall Street, which is in this reactive and consolidation phase. Wall Street also has the election uncertainty to consider. And while it's fashionable to say, and historically people have said, well, it doesn't really make any difference overall, the two parties are so ideologically opposed that I think it probably does make a bit of difference. I've got a good article that I've posted here. It's on the site already by Erwin Stelzer, writing for, he's a columnist, regular columnist with the Sunday Times in the UK. And I think it's a pretty good template regarding some of the queries that we're starting to get from subscribers in terms of how gold and various other sectors and markets generally would be affected by the real possibility of a Romney election victory, although by all accounts the election is still too close to call, but it's Romney who's had the momentum recently, although there's still a couple of weeks to go. Now, what else to mention here? Then there's also the issue of the fiscal cliff. Now, I've addressed this today in my comment. But as I see it, if Romney becomes the president-elect on the 4th of November, assuming we get a clear result on the 4th of November, as president-elect, and he would almost certainly, it's virtually guaranteed that he would retain or will retain the House of Representatives. Now, from that position of strength, he would be, well, in quite a good position here to control the negotiations over the fiscal cliff. It's going to be rancorous, whatever happens, but he would have the strong hand. On the other hand, if Obama wins the close election, he will not have the House of Representatives, and therefore it will be really quite tricky, because Obama is talking about holding out for his taxes on millionaires and billionaires, and for the millionaires, that's really, well, it's political speak for anybody who's earning over $250,000 a year. So the Republican Congress would, I'm quite certain, oppose that, as they have all along. So that could be tense. But again, a little bit of conjecture on my part here. Obviously, I think it's informed conjecture. Or hopefully, it is. Don't mean that as a boast, but I'm trying to pass on the best impressions and information that that I receive to subscribers. And it's certainly all interesting, isn't it? Meanwhile, we need to see some clear upward dynamics by these U.S. indices to check this slide overall. Long-dated government bond prices, again, they may have softened a little bit on the prospect of a Romney victory, but they were, in my opinion, they have been for quite some time in an overall topping out process, bond prices, and therefore yields in an overall bottoming out process. And I reviewed those charts last week, and you can see why if you have a look at those yield charts, particularly look at the dailies. You look at the longer term ones for perspective, but look at the dailies in terms of the progressions of higher reaction lows that you see for yields, and therefore the bond prices, treasury bond, long dated futures show a progression of lower rally highs. Now, what about the US dollar? Well, it's actually unchanged in here today. The dollar is sort of soft generally. The Asian currencies are the firmest here overall, and the what's interesting here is that the euro, ever since that rally started last July in the European shares, and the bond yield started to come down in Spain and Italy and fell quite a long way, as you know, we've had a steadier euro overall. And that's good news in the sense that the euro has already seen a substantial devaluation, but what it does mean is that we're not getting a collapse of the currency. We're not getting a currency crisis. What is also interesting here in currencies is that the soft dollar is firm against the yen today. The it's up to 79.91. And I think that's the highest it's been for a little while here overall. It's my contention that Japan does need and will eventually get a weaker Japanese yen. And precious metals. They are oversold on a short-term basis. That you can see clearly on some of those stochastic charts. They've seen some not insignificant pullbacks, but well within the confines of what one would regard as a normal corrective phase reaction and consolidation within what I believe is the new medium-term upward trend, which I think will lead to a resumption of the secular upward trend in precious metals prices at some point here next year. Now, I described the precious metals as being oversold, but we do not yet have any technical evidence that the decline is over. That only occurs with hindsight, and that would require some clear upward dynamics that emboldened investors to come back in or to increase their long positions overall. I think as far as bullion holders or holders of bullion funds are concerned, that they can be reasonably relaxed in this environment overall, including whoever wins the U.S. presidential election. But it's always the futures trading that's the trickier bit overall. And as I just said, and to repeat the important point, we have short-term oversold conditions, but we do not have yet any technical evidence that we have seen the low of this corrective phase that only occurred. I'm talking about in response to the sharp move upwards that we saw from mid-August through to mid-September. I don't think there's any chance that we're going to go back and see the lows for precious metals that we saw earlier in the year. Or, so I don't jinx myself, I'll put it another way, we would have to have a massive sell-off on Wall Street, I believe, to drag those precious metals back down to those levels. So I'm looking for a bottom in here, and I would not be surprised to see the evidence occur any day, and a bottom to this little corrective phase that we've seen following the recent highs. Now, lastly, crude oil. I'm pleased to see this decline here right now. I do feel that crude oil prices have a fear premium. That's another way to phrase that would be to say that they've got a hedge long premium there in the marketplace, probably mostly on the part of speculators, including hedge funds. And the prices are therefore higher than they would otherwise be, but they're not at punitive levels. One can understand why, with the unrest and uncertainty over events in the Middle East, that they do carry this bit of a premium. And I think that's pretty much it on the main points. So, all the best to all of you. And just before, well, it's still just 3 minutes before the close on Wall Street, and the NASDAQ composite is up 0.4%. Again, that's Apple driving that back up. The Dow is down only 8 points, so that's recovered most of its losses, and the S&P is down a little bit more, a third of a percent at this stage, but that's well off the lows that we saw earlier on. All the best.